This is Digital Story Podcast number 511, December 22nd, 2015. Today's theme is Breaking New Ground. I'm Derek Story. In my mind, setting an important goal for 2016 is different than a New Year's resolution. A resolution typically fixes something that's wrong. I'm going to lose 10 pounds in 2016 because I weigh too much. On the other hand, setting a goal is enhancing one's life or career by endeavoring something new. The theme of today's show is Breaking New Ground. I'm going to talk about ways in which we can become better artists, technicians, and business people through setting just one goal and then working toward it. Breaking New Ground. So I'm going to read you this little piece here that I wrote, and then we're going to talk about this a bit, because for me, this is a very important thing. It has become increasingly important over the years, especially since I've been working for myself. But regardless if you work for yourself or not, I think the reason why you listen to the show and the reason why you participate is because you take this seriously. You take being an artist seriously, a technician, a photographer, a writer. You know, all these things that we talk about on this show are important to you. And if indeed they are important, that means that you're probably pretty good at it. And then that means there's potential for you to become even better. So let me read you this little piece here, and then we'll chat a bit about it. Every December, I sit down and think about what I could achieve in the coming year. This isn't an exercise in fuzzy abstracts, such as, I want to become a better person, or this is the year I finally make it big. My goals are more concrete than that. I figure if I can keep doing what I'm already doing and add one more skill, product, or revenue stream, then I'm moving in the right direction. Think about how this can add up over the course of a single decade. The goal I set for myself in 2015 was to finally get my newsletter, the Nimbleosity Report, off the ground. I didn't finally launch until November, the latest I've ever achieved an annual goal, by the way. But I did make it happen, and I'm having a ball with it. I truly wish I had started it earlier. I have some good possibilities for 2016. Some of them I can't share because they involve other companies and I don't want to jinx myself. Others are very personal, such as finishing my book, The Nimble Photographer, or publishing another book, The Film Project. Regardless of which one I settle on, I still have a week to do so. It will most likely improve my working life, and that's really the bottom line, moving in the right direction. Here's the thing. I've always thought to myself, since I've become a photographer, a writer, all that, that I don't want to lose what I already have. And, you know, we do lose a little bit. That's why refresher courses, I guess, are important. We do lose a little bit, but overall, I want to hang on to the things that I've learned, the talents I've developed, you know, all that kind of stuff, the discipline, right? I want to hang on to all of that. But I want to make sure I'm moving forward. And I've never really cared, in all honesty, about how fast I move forward. I've never really worried about becoming, you know, the top of my field or anything like that. I just want to be good. I just want to be better next year and better the year after that. That's, you know, that's really my thing, is to be solid, in all honesty. So the way that I figured that I could do this is by just making a promise to myself every year, and I do this in December at the end of the year, that I'm going to add a skill or a product or something to my repertoire for the next year. So if I can hang on to what I have and add something, then, as I said in the piece that I read earlier, just even over a decade, even over a 10-year period, you've added 10 new things, 10 new skills, 10 new products. Yeah, and that's a lot. I mean, it sort of makes me think, well, weight gain. Remember, I mentioned the weight gain in the thing. So, you know how people go, you know, I only gained a couple pounds this year. You know, one or two, three, whatever that is. But that also works the same way as what I'm talking about. Because think about if you just gain 3 pounds every year over a 10-year period, you've gained 30 pounds. That's a lot of weight. I mean, 30 pounds is a lot. I don't want to carry around an extra 30 pounds. I mean, I don't even like a heavy camera bag, right? So, you know, these little things add up. You know, they can add up in a good way or a bad way. I guess you could look at it that if you were adding, you know, one new bad habit every year, at the end of a decade, you'd be a mess, right? You'd be, gosh knows, you know, how your life would be. So I'm bringing this up now because we're near the end of December. I think this is a great time to be thinking about 2016. And the thing that I caution against, because, you know, we'll hear about setting all these lofty goals and really pushing forward and very high expectations, all that stuff. I don't work that way, as you've probably figured out by now. I set the bar very low. But that way I can jump over it. And, you know, I'm kidding a little bit, but I'm also serious a little bit too. I truly believe in attainable goals. I think those are the ones that really count. Me saying that I'm going to strike it rich in 2016, well, that's fantastic. I mean, I would love not to worry about paying the bills anymore. That would be fantastic. It's just too abstract. It's too fuzzy. It's too big. It's too hard to... You don't have all the control to attain it unless you're willing to turn everything else over, unless you're willing to turn over your family life and your friends and you know, the things that you enjoy. And I'm not willing to do that. And, you know, that leads to another point. Whatever your goal is for the next year, you got to remember what's important to you right now. I mean, if you have a family, achieving a new goal at the sacrifice of losing a family that you love, that is not a gain. You know, that is falling back. Your health, that's another one. I mean, you know, when you really go on the list, I'll share something that is a little funny here, actually. I'll share with you my rules for life. This is not really a digression because it really fits in kind of with everything you're talking about. My number one rule for life is to do everything that I can do to stay healthy. The way I look at it is that if you're healthy, if you have your health, you can overcome just about any other obstacle. You lose all your jobs. If you have your health, at least you have a chance to find more jobs. You know, I mean, everything is attainable when you have health, in my opinion. The second thing, my second rule is to stay out of jail. I know that sounds funny, but no, this is a real rule because, all right, health, right? If you have health, you can do anything. If you're in jail, you can't do anything, right? You're stuck. You are stuck until they let you out. So everything stops when you're in jail. And that's why I believe that, you know, other than health, that is my other most important rule. And that's why I don't even believe in getting close to the line, right? You always hear people say, well, you know, I got too close to the line and, you know, and they got me. And it wasn't really my fault. I'm innocent. Yeah, don't even get close to the line. That's what I say. You know, don't even screw around with the possibility that something could go slightly wrong and you end up in jail. So my number two rule for life is stay out of jail. And you know what? I think it's a darn good one. And then my third rule is to hang on to my friends and family because they add so much to the texture of my life. And I just really can't imagine any sort of life without them. Those are my three rules for life. And I take them seriously. So whatever you set as your goal for 2016, make sure that it doesn't compromise what your rules for life are. Make sure that it works in harmony with your existing rules and not against them. And by doing so, if you can do that, if you can hang on to what you have, the good things in your life, which take work, right? That doesn't automatically happen. You have to work to hang on to what you have. And if you can add one new thing every year, you're really going to move forward, you know, and it could be something simple. It could be finally going to a photography workshop that you've always wanted to do because you feel that that will help you move forward as a photographer. It can be finally finishing that personal project that you think is very important, and it will make you a better artist. It will give you a sense of accomplishment. It'll give you confidence to move on to other things. It could be finally applying for that job or entering that contest that you think, you know, will help you, that you think will help you moving forward. Whatever it happens to be, think about it over the next week and set a goal for 2016 and then make sure you do it. I'm not saying set a goal and then strive to do it. I'm saying set a goal and do it. Get it done. If you don't think it's doable, then set a different goal. Achieve that goal and then go on to the next one. You'll be surprised. It's really kind of cool. So may you have enough satisfaction, creativity, family in 2016. Decide what's the next step to bring you even closer to all of that. In the news, Apple has 800 people working on the iPhone camera. Now, this originally aired on 60 Minutes on Sunday, and then it has been picked up by The Verge, Petapixel, so forth. I put a link to Petapixel in the show notes. But I thought this was very interesting. I was watching the show when they mentioned this, and then I kind of smiled to myself when it showed up online the next day. But it's kind of cool, and it made an impression on me even while I was watching on 60 Minutes. So let me read you here what Petapixel wrote. Apple is one of the largest companies in the world, and the iPhone is Apple's biggest and highest earning product. And the camera on iPhones is the device most used feature. So it makes a lot of sense that Apple would dedicate 800 engineers and other specialists toward making the iPhone camera as awesome as possible. Apple reveals that there are 200 separate individual components in each tiny iPhone camera module. The camera's stabilization system uses four wires that are just 40 microns in width, less than half a human hair, to hold the suspension and stabilize the camera from handshake. And finally, get this, each time you capture a photo with an iPhone, there are 24 billion operations that happen just for that one snapshot. I love shooting with the iPhone. Absolutely. I mean, it's funny, as I've talked about some of the other things like the film project, the iPhone is a big part of the film project, which is an analog film project, but I need to document what I'm doing with my film camera. And the way that I'm doing that is with my iPhone camera and an app called Day One. It's just so important. And the images that I shoot with the iPhone as reference shots for the film project, I try to make those as good as possible. And they are beautiful. And a lot of times I'm hoping, boy, I hope the film version comes out as good as this. It's a lot to compete with that iPhone camera. But I thought that was an interesting tidbit. It's a cool thing that came out of the 60 Minutes story. And I'm glad they're talking about it online because I'll tell you, that camera module on the iPhone, it's really something else. Meet image framers, Jacob Gorbin. So a few weeks ago, I received an email from a Mac developer named Jacob Gorbin. And I want to read you his note because it's really cool and because what he does, I think, is very interesting. So I'm going to read you the note that he sent me about an app that he's developed, and then we'll talk a little bit about Image Framer, which is the name of the app. Hello, Derek. I'm the founder of Apparent Software, and Image Framer was the first OS X application I released back in 2006. My dad is a die-hard hobby photographer, and I caught the bug too. My mom paints. All of this led to the idea to develop an application that will help me visualize frames either for actual presentation or as a helper tool in planning real-life framing of pieces of art. Image Framer has evolved a lot over the years. and at its current version, I believe to be mature and capable piece of software. Yet ease and speed of use was always my priority, and the feedback that I received from customers corroborates that it was the right approach. I would love to know your opinion on this as a professional photographer and as a fellow Mac user. That's the note that Jacob sent me, so obviously I had to look at it. I do get notes all the time, and I do look at everything, but some things I look at more seriously than others, and this one right away I was very interested in. So I went over and looked at the app, and I played around with it, and basically what he has done is that he has created an application that allows you to frame your photographs. And you can use them in a variety of ways. He talked about a couple in his introductory note. The way that I've been using it this week is that I did a test. I took a very simple picture of a holiday wreath. In fact, I think I put it on Facebook. And then I put it in ImageFramer, and he has all of these holiday templates, for example. He has tons of templates. Even the super light version has like 700 frames in it. And then I just started playing around with putting different frames on the simple picture of a wreath, a holiday wreath. And it was amazing to me how it changed, how the feel of the image changed, how everything changed about it. And I like frames. I've been putting different types of frames on my images for a long time. And I think it's especially nice on holiday cards. If you have a great image and you put it on your holiday card, you know, using the Red River paper that we talk about a lot, it'll look good. And you could put some text inside and all that, put it in an envelope, and people will like it. But what I've noticed is if you take that same image and you find a perfect frame or border for it, and then you put it on the card, it just elevates it to a whole new level. I really like this app. And, you know, I love developers, Mac developers who are out there, because I can relate to them. In a lot of ways, I feel like they're the developer version of what I'm doing. So we'll be talking about some of the different aspects of ImageFramer over the coming weeks. He put together a landing page for us. You can go over there right now. I have a tile, on the right-hand side of all the pages. There's an ImageFramer tile. So the easiest way to do is just go to thedigitalstory.com, click on the tile, and it'll take you right to the landing page. And I also have a link in the show notes where I talk about this, it'll take you over there. But the easiest way is just find the tile on any of the pages of Digital Story. Go over there. He has three different versions. He's giving us a big discount. So I think you can get the light version for $22 and some change. I was playing with it last night, and Teresa goes, she was like scowling at me. She goes, "There you are, you're working again." And I go, "I'm not working. This is really fun. I'm having a blast here." And I was just playing with it, and I made, on that holiday wreath, I literally made 20 different frames. And I was comparing them all. And I'll run some of them on the Facebook page that go to the show notes. For this week anyway, I just want to introduce you to Jacob. I want you to take a look at ImageFramer. Click on the tile, go over there and look, nose around, and then we'll start drilling into more specific things next week. This is a cool app. And I think especially if you're into the fine art cards, it's fantastic. If you're into making prints and hanging them on the wall, it's fantastic. If you're just into making your images look better, it's fantastic. Products we love. The Tenba Cooper 13 Slim. All right, now I talked about this when it first came out. I said I was gonna test it. Got my hands on one, I've tested it. I did a review on Digital Story. You can read the whole review there. And I have to tell you that the Tenba Cooper 13 Slim Messenger Bag is my camera bag of the year. And I have to say, hands down, my camera bag of the year, winning over even the much-discussed Peak Design Everyday Messenger. And in the Facebook conversation that we had about this, you know, for a lot of people, the Peak Design Everyday Messenger was the top bag of the year, the bag they knew most about. It came out earlier than this one. The Tenba Cooper 13 has just been out for a couple weeks now. So it kind of came out a little bit late in the year. But why do I like it better than the Peak design? First of all, it's more nimble. Definitely more nimble. It is slim and it holds its shape. Now, and it's a whole different philosophy than the Peak, which is designed to, you know, I shouldn't say it that way, which is designed to expand if you need more room. But the problem is, and if you just look at the pictures on the Peak page of people carrying the bag, look at how big the bag is compared to their body. And then look at the bag on the Tenba page, you know, at B&H or wherever. Look at the Cooper and look how the bag hangs on the person. And that's something that I want. I have had plenty of big shoulder bags that just were hard to use on rapid transit and they just felt bulky. So the number one reason why I love this bag is because it's slim and it holds its shape. Now at the same time, it also holds up to a 13-inch laptop. I have right now three cameras in the bag. I have a Lumix GM5, I have an Olympus OMD EM5 Mark II, and I have my Contax T2 for the film project. Plus I have a couple lenses, plus I have my accessory bag, spare hard drive, you know, all that kind of stuff. All fits in there, iPads in there, all fits in there, and the bag stays slim, only 5 inches in depth. It's nice. So when you walk around with it, it hangs on your body. It hangs on your body the way I think a bag should. Now, both bags look good. The Peak and the Tenba bag, they both look good. They're both waxed canvas. Oh, so beautiful. So soft. So gorgeous. You just want to, like, touch it all the time. Absolutely. Both bags are really nice in that regard. It's $20 less than the Peak, the Tenba is. And I just think it's more professional looking. And that's total personal opinion, totally subjective. I think it's a more professional looking bag. And then I just love all the touches. There's so many little things. And I will say the Peak has a lot of really nice little things too. So I think it's really between these two bags for bag of the year this year. The Peak Design Everyday Messenger or the Tenba Cooper 13 Slim. My personal preference, because I'm a nimble photographer, is the Tenba. But if you want a camera bag, a shoulder bag, messenger bag, that you're just going to love, and you're willing to spend a couple $100 on it, look at these two bags, see what you think. The Screening Room. This week's Screening Room selection is Lightroom Insider Training, Mastering the Develop Module with Brian O'Neill Hughes. This is a cool little training that Brian has done, and it just focuses on the Develop Module and learning how to get the most out of it. Just really mastering this one part of Lightroom. Brian O'Neill works for Adobe. He explores the Develop Module in depth, stepping through each of the module's core tools and sharing insights on each along the way. The course concludes with chapters on essential time-saving tools, taking photos from Lightroom to Photoshop for further enhancement, and editing images on smartphones and tablets with Lightroom for mobile. If you really want to improve your chops on Lightroom Develop Module, take a look at this. I have a link to it in the show notes. It's called Lightroom Insider Training, Mastering the Develop Module with Brian O'Neill Hughes. And then if you don't have a membership already with Linda, you can use the free trial. I have a link to 7 days. Just go to lynda.com/thedigitalstory and get your 7-day free trial going. And then watch this training on Lightroom by Brian O'Neill Hughes. Member quotes of the week. Intelligent comments from the Digital Story Facebook page. This is a fun one this week. So this is in regard to Sunday's Facebook post, this post did really well on Sunday. Tenba Cooper 13 Slim Exceptional Shoulder Bag. So it's a shoulder bag I was just talking about. I did a post that was pointing to the review of it. And we had a great exchange between two of our Virtual Camera Club members. I want to share that exchange with you right now. So Bob wrote, "It looks promising, But I wish Tenba and the other bag makers would get away from the inserts. They waste a lot of room in the bag. So then William replied, "And therein lies the problem for bag designers, Bob. I like bags with inserts and that you can remove them." So then Bob replied, "So you're the cause of the problem. I should have known." And he put a smiley face there. And William finished, "A man has to do what a man has to do." I just thought that was just like a cool exchange. And yeah, there is a problem for bag designers, camera designers, anyone who designs, is you have two people with completely different opinions. Both of them are potential customers on how you should construct your bag. So you just have to go with the one that suits your needs. But anyway, thanks Bob and William for entertaining me. I read all of the comments on our Facebook page. If you're not hanging out there, you should. It's a lot of fun. We just went over 5,000, by the way, which was really neat. And those are organic likes. Those aren't, you know, buying likes. We just built that one by one, just like I do everything else, right? Facebook.com/thedigitalstory. We have a great community over there. Why prints are so important. Just want to read you something that caught my eye in the Red River Paper newsletter. Photography has always been about preserving memories and history for the future. Today, that means protecting images from technological change. Remember the floppy disk? How about the photo CD? Good luck easily retrieving data from either of those. Remember that today's file formats and storage devices may not always be available. If you want to preserve your memories, you need to make a print. Your kids and grandkids will appreciate the effort. And that's a thought from the Red River Paper newsletter. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, and they have a great Facebook page also over at facebook.com/redriverpaper. One last thing in our found treasure category, just want to remind you that we are still in the registration period for the 2016 Street Photography Workshop. We'll be working on night photography. We've got a specialist there. Mike Boeing's going to be our specialist, teaching us how to get fantastic award-winning images in urban settings at night. We're going to do lots of exploring in some of the coolest places in San Francisco. 3 days there, staying at the fantastic Cartwright Hotel, right in the heart of the city. This is going to be a blast. If you want to join this workshop, just go over to the workshops page on the Digital Story. Workshops are up there in the nav bar, thedigitalstory.com/workshops. Check it out. Join us. We still have a few seats left. And I'd love it if you could make that one of the cool things you do in 2016. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I'm all inspired. I am ready for 2016. I am ready to rock and roll. I mean, I've got a lot of challenges this year, and I'm just ready to meet them head on. I hope in the days coming up here, holiday season, you have some nice moments. We'll be doing a show on the 30th, so make sure you join us. Until then, have a great week, and hug someone. Bye-bye.